Hello there. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. You're listening to Hospital Radio for Northumberland and North Tyneside. Today we'll be looking at a question a lot of people were asking way back then in New Testament times. Who is this Jesus? For that reason, we're beginning our programme today with a hymn simply called Who Is He in Yonder Storm? Sung here by the BYU Men's Chorus. In our reading today, we'll find that Jesus and his closest disciples have wandered way up north to the vicinity of Caesarea Philippi, which lay at the foot of Mount Hermon. The land itself would have been very fertile, as water flowed in torrents over the rock. This area was the chief source of the River Jordan. They all came to a place where the heathen god Baal was once worshipped, and also a Greek god called Pan. You can still visit the cave there dedicated to him and see niches in the rock face outside where statues of other gods linked with Pan once stood. There was also an exquisite white marble temple there to honour the Roman Emperor, Caesar, and give praise to him. It was to this place that Jesus brought his disciples. Here, outside of Galilee, Jesus knew he could find another quiet place where he could continue his teaching and at the same time escape those critics who hounded him about the interpretation of the law. Let's have a Celtic version of the hymn, Oh for a Closer Walk with God, with Margaret Becker, Joanna Hogg and Moya Brennan.
Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light that shines upon the road leading to the Lamb. Artivion, Nurachonik me moya, Kabul mohanam leriakur, Pioi mohia. A light to be my guide, the Father's presence at my side, in your
is missing from this last song from the original by William Cowper, and it's this one: "The dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee." I wonder what you think would be the modern equivalent of an idol. Any ideas? Or are we devoted instead to other things? A legend is told about the devil who once held a meeting with his demons and told them, "We can't keep Christians from worshipping, reading their Bibles and having strong values, but we can keep them from forming a close relationship with Jesus. If they have that, then our power over them is broken. So what I want you to do instead is keep them busy in the non-essentials of life and invent endless schemes to occupy their minds," he answered. "Tempt them to spend, 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 and borrow, borrow, borrow. Convince them they need to work excessive hours in order to afford their lifestyles. Keep them from spending time with their children. Let their family fragment so that their homes will offer no escape from the pressures of work. Overstimulate their minds so that they can't hear that still small voice. Entice them to play the radio whenever they drive, and to keep the TV, VCR, CDs and their PCs going constantly in their homes. Fill their coffee tables with magazines and newspapers. Pound their minds with news 24 hours a day. Invade their driving moments with billboards. Flood their mailboxes with junk mail, sweepstakes and every kind of newsletter and promotional offering free products, services and false hopes. And let their recreation be demanding. Keep them away from the beauty of nature. Send them to amusement parks, sporting events, concerts and movies instead. And when they meet with each other, involve them in gossip and small talk. so that they leave with troubled consciences and unsettled emotions. Crowd their lives with so many good causes they have no time at all for prayer. Soon they will be working in their own strength, sacrificing their health and family unity for the good of the cause. It was quite a convention in the end, and the evil angels went eagerly to their assignments, causing Christians everywhere to get busy, 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 and rush here and there. Has the devil been successful at his schemes? We must be the judge of that. Here in today's reading, though, Jesus and his disciples find themselves surrounded by idols, by temples, by statues of gods and goddesses. So let's hear what Jesus has to say to his disciples. Judging by his questions, perhaps he's wondering if his disciples have really understood his teaching about who he claimed to be. I'm reading in Matthew 16 from verses 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of his prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone he was the Messiah.
My Jesus, my Saviour.
Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of breath, all that I have, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar.
Oh,
That was a wonderful hymn of praise, My Jesus, My Saviour, written by Darlene Zeck. In it it says, Lord, there is none like you. So, in what was a very strange environment for these disciples, Jesus had two important questions for them, at a time when his death was just a few months away. He asks them first, who do men say that I am? In other words, what's the word on the street? What are people saying about me? He's curious. They report that the people they had spoken to saw him as a great prophet, the likes of John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or some other prophet. But that's when Jesus challenges them even further. Who do you say that I am? Peter, as usual, jumps in with both feet before anyone has a chance to respond with the words, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Correct answer. Ding! I remember once answering a very difficult maths question put to my class when I was only 8 or 9 years old by the head teacher. What is 3¾? He asked us. Someone in the class answered, 1½. Wrong. I raised my hand enthusiastically and suggested, 1⅞. I'll never forget that look of astonishment on the headmaster's face. As it turned out, that was the correct answer. Little did he know I hadn't worked it out mathematically at all, but I had seen it, that number, that very number, in my weekly Bunty comic, in an article on Georgian hairstyle heights. But I was so proud of myself getting that right answer. Well, I was until he asked me, And how did you work it out? Oops. I was in trouble then, because I couldn't answer that question unless I told him about the Bunty comic. But this next song is a country and western song about someone else who is in trouble, and Jesus is the one this person turns to for help. If Jesus truly is the Son of the living God, as Simon Peter suggests, who better to turn to for help when we're in need? Who? The one most qualified to save us? This song is by Carrie Underwood and it's called Jesus Take the Wheel.
She was driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow-white Christmas Eve. Going home to see her mama and her daddy with the baby in the back seat. 50 miles to go and she was running low on faith and gasoline. It'd been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going away too fast. Before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw both their lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air. Jesus, take the wheel.
Jesus doesn't say to Peter, My goodness, what gave you such an idea? Don't say such things. And he doesn't ask him how he reached that conclusion either, like my headmaster did to me. No, Jesus tells Simon Peter that God himself answered the question through him. How big a boost was that for him? Jesus says to Simon, "You are Peter," which is the Greek name for rock, and he tells him that on this rock he would build his church. Up until this point, Jesus had not admitted to being God's Messiah, but now he tells them to keep this information to themselves. Here's a hymn called "I Will Build My Church," sung here with the congregation and David Ritter.
I will build my church,
I will build my church,
and the gates of hell,
and the gates of hell,
shall not prevail,
shall not prevail
against me. I will build my church,
I will build my church,
and the gates of hell,
and the gates of hell,
shall not prevail,
shall not prevail
against me.
The religious leaders of the day seemed to think Jesus was a bad person. He broke their rules. But then how come he did so much good and confront and overcome evil time and time again? How would you respond today to Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" What would you say? I've been asking a few people this week this very question, and these were some of the responses. "Someone who knows all there is to know," somebody said. So, was he just a great thinker, a great philosopher? Is that all he was? Another person said to me, "He was a good man." But surely if you take all the claims Jesus made concerning himself, such as, "No one comes to the Father except through me," and "I and the Father are one," and "Before Abraham was, I am," then these are crazy things for a good man to say if he was not who he is claiming to be. I received so many other comments, some from those who listen in each week. One man said, "He's the almost forgotten one." Another set of comments were, "He's father, brother, friend. He's my spiritual guide. He's my best friend. He's love, divine love." One person wrote to me, "From when I was a child, I was taught that Jesus is God our Saviour, and that whoever received him would not perish but have everlasting life. Now that I'm older, I've learned that he is everything." One man said, "He is my past, present and future. He's my joy, my hopes and my dreams. He's my strength, my shield and my reason to carry on when life deals a tough blow. In short, he's everything." And I liked this comment. One person said, "He's God with skin, my inspiration and teacher, showing me how to live and how to love." But most people I asked said, "He is the Son of God." But all these comments seem to be comments by Christians. Who is he to you? Matt Redman, Christian singer and songwriter, gives his answer in our final song. Here it is from his album Unbroken Praise, the song "King of My Soul." Have a good week, everyone. and thank you so much for tuning in. Bye for now.
King of my heart, King of my soul, you are the one that I live for. No other name, no other throne, it's you alone. King of my heart, King of my soul, I'll make a joyful surrender. No other name, no other throne, it's you alone. So let my life be undivided, God, King of my soul.